Illnesses and Accidents, Chapter 4. You know, as kids, we went through the usual things, the measles and mumps and such. A frequent visitor to our home on Conklin was the county health department, who would nail up a red or orange, big orange sign on the front and the back of doors of the house and would say, quarantine. I believe that means 40 days. Depending on Spanish for 40 is cuarenta. So I assume that was 40 days. I don't know if we had to stay in that long. But you know what? Only the grown-ups were allowed to leave to go to work or go shopping or something. We kids were cooped up for a long time. That was miserable. At 2 years old, I was run over by a Coca-Cola truck. Jerry forever felt blame for it because he was supposed to be taking care of me. I guess he was 5 years old. Somehow I got away from him and ran in front of the truck. I spent some time in the hospital with a skull fracture. When Dad and Mom trying to figure out, you know, they figured the Coke company owed some money but didn't want to go through the expense of hiring a lawyer. Dad went downtown Grand Forks with a clipboard and just stopped every guy on the corner or lady and told him what happened and asked him how much they think it was worth. The consensus came to $500, so Dad took that information to Coke's representative, and that's what they gave him. When I was about 10 or 12, we were picking potatoes in Minnesota, and there was, in this case, it was a big potato wagon being pulled by a small tractor, and the tractor got stuck on a row of potatoes, so most of the men went out and pushed on the back of the wagon. I pushed on the back of the tractor. It started with a lurch. I slipped on a potato, and the big old steel rim or the iron rim of the trailer full of potatoes rolled over my left ankle and broke it. Nobody wanted to stop work to take me to the doctor. Even Mom was out there working, too. So they just covered me up, put me in the back of a car and covered me up. I remember I threw up in the back seat. But eventually work ended and the Mom got to take me home and take me to a doctor, and I ended up wearing a walking cast for quite a while. Next up was I had an appendectomy on Thanksgiving evening. You know, after Thanksgiving dinner I felt, boy, I didn't feel too good. I thought maybe I ate too much. And they called a doctor out to the house, a Dr. Vandersloos. And he checked me out and said, no, I had appendicitis, and he'd have to take it out that night. So about 9 o'clock that night, he performed the operation. About 9 o'clock that morning, I was up, sitting up with a girdle on. I remember this felt like my stomach was going, bowels were going to fall out on the floor. But around noon, they cut me loose. And Mom and Dad were working, so they'd call and just told me to get a cab. So I grabbed a cab and went home out to South Lake Irving. Next up was when we moved to Fargo during the war. Dad took a job with the OPA, the Office of Price Administration, and they handled coupons for buying food and stuff. Everything was rationed. And there was a polio epidemic in 1946. And I got caught up in it. Ended up out at a place that the people called the Pest House. It was an old hospital that they only used for epidemics like this. And there was a boys' ward on the ground floor, maybe about 20 of us there, probably the same number on the second floor of young girls. I was very, very fortunate. I got to get out of there after a few weeks. We had no, it was the middle of summer, but we had nothing but a sheet, no pillows, no TV, no radio, no entertainment of any sort. Couldn't even have visitors, except Mom would come and stand outside the window. I had a window bed, and they would talk to me through the window. And there was some really serious cases in there. One was a farm boy that brought in way too late. and put him on a bed. And his doctor came in a second day and said, well, he is improving. He says, yesterday he was as stiff as a board, or as stiff as a poker, and today he's as stiff as a board. I didn't think that was much of an improvement. The kid would wander around in our beds in delirium, and eventually within a few days, he died there. And I met and made friends with a couple other farm boys who one lost the use of an arm and another one lost the use of a leg. And the only thing I had was eventually some curvature of the spine. And I had to spend some time with a physical therapist after I got out. And her therapy, main therapy, was for me to take a can of marbles and throw them on the carpet and then try to pick them up with my toes. Next up was probably a defining moment in my life in 1947, on Dan's birthday, December 23. Jerry had been out the night before at Jamestown Golf Course and gone sledding, tobogganing rather, and he raved about what a great time they had. So Bruce and Dan and I went out. We positioned this on a high hill, got a nice, just beautiful straight shot down the hill, and it somehow I got into the curved up front part in the front. Bruce got behind me, and Dan pushed us off and somehow torqued a little on him, and it went in a slightly different direction. We went flying down this hill and slammed into a giant snow-covered boulder. The consequence was, well, besides a hole in the bottom of the toboggan, right where my knee was, I stood up and fell down, and stood up and fell down. I couldn't figure out what was wrong, but Bruce was crying, and he'd bitten through his lower lip, I think it was. And I told Dan, I said, well, see what's wrong with Bruce. And while he was doing that, I pulled out my pant legs, and I saw where the lower part of my knee, left leg knee, was shattered and pushed way back. And I ended up in Bruce and Dan dragged me out on a sled and got to a phone, called home, and the ambulance came and got me. And I spent a long time recuperating on that. There at the hospital in Jamestown, told my folks they wanted to amputate the leg, and Mom and Dad said, no, that's out of the question. If you're thinking of doing that, we'll fly them to Fargo and see a specialist there instead. So they relented. They said, well, we'll put him in traction, but he's always going to have a stiff leg. This traction consisted of a metal frame that elevated my leg, and a pin was put through my knee with wires on both sides of the knee. They end up combining into one wire that went over a pulley at the end of the contraption, at the end of the bed. And at the bottom of the pulley was the wire being held by a 20 or 25 pound weight. That weight pulled on the leg the whole time for about 3 weeks, during which, if I made the smallest move, the slightest move, it was agonizing pain when those bones separated. But even worse, the end result was they were supposed to put a rubber donut under my Achilles tendon in the heel, and they forgot to, so that tendon laid on a metal bar the whole time, and the bar ate into the Achilles tendon. So actually, when I got out of the hospital, I had more trouble with that. It took them quite a while to cure that. And they put me in a cast, and I was out in a cast for quite a while. And during that time, I had to stay late at school to make up classes. And I came out a side door after everybody was gone and all the classwork was done, and went down some icy steps and hit the icy sidewalk, and my crutches flew out from me, slammed down, and went in on the pavement, and there I lay. Nobody could see me. There was nothing but snowdrifts on either side of me, except for the sidewalk down in front, and the cars that went whizzing by never saw me. Eventually, two nuns and a handful of young Catholic girls walked by that walkway up to where I was, and I was yelling, help, 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 and those wonderful nuns got me up on my feet, and I would go hobbling home. And going home was a chore in those days in the snow. Every once in a while, the snowdrift would suck off the end of my rubber cane tip. So then I have to stand one leg and pivot around and bend down and find that cane tip down in the bottom of the snow, put it back on the cane and go away, go along for a while more, and then have the damn thing happen again. But eventually, the whole ordeal ended, and I got off of out of the cast, and crutches and cane, and for a long time, and a lot of rehab in Bemidji. We coincidentally moved to Bemidji in about April, about 4 months after that accident, and went to another doctor there, Dr. Groshoff, who said he thought my parents could get some flex in that knee, but it would take a lot of work. Otherwise, I was just stiff-legged. So he said, well, in the morning, one of you have them sit in a chair, and one of you pick up that leg and crank it, pump it down like you're pumping water out of a hand pump well, and do that three times at night and three times in the morning. Well, they started that. Dad would do it in the morning, Mom would do it at night. And in both cases, I came up out of that chair, like a shot. You know, man, did that smart. But eventually, and this took quite a while, eventually we got it to almost a 90-degree flex on there that I have today. A small addition or correction to the last story. I got the different problems kind of switched. The first broken leg was in Grand Forks. Then when we moved to Fargo is when I got polio. Then when we moved to Jamestown, I broke my knee, and then when we moved to Bemidji, I had appendicitis and that problem. And this Dr. Vandersloos, who treated me for the appendicitis, about a week after I had the operation, he had me come in. He was going to remove the stitches. You know, I thought that was a little early. But anyway, I stretch out on his operating table there in his office, and he proceeds to probe down into it. It felt like he was sticking the scissors down in each individual incision hole and snipping the things from in between. Anyway, I complained about it, and he says, "Oh, shut up, you big baby." That put him on the top one of my list. So you talk about no bedside manner. And that Dr. Groshoff that told my folks how to get my knee some flex in there, his first name was Theophilus. And so he told us, he says, that's Theophilus' name in the world.